message is what? Increase our faith. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word today, speak to our hearts, challenge us to allow our faith to be increased, that we might be the people of God that you desire for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, about 4 weeks ago, I asked Pastor Kelly, I said, Pastor Kelly, would you like to preach on your fourth anniversary? And she quickly replied, no, I don't, and you can preach on increasing our faith. So that is why I am standing up here today instead of Pastor Kelly. Let them know right from the get-go. So they said, he wouldn't even let her preach on her anniversary. I tried. Now, how many of you have ever wanted the Lord to increase your faith? How many of you have ever prayed for the Lord to increase your faith? How many of you realize few things are as dangerous and as nerve-wracking as praying, Lord, increase my faith? You see, when we do that, we are opening ourselves up to all kinds of unpredictable situations. Wouldn't it be nice if God would just send us a candy bar of faith or a piece of cake of faith, and all you had to do was just unwrap it, start eating it, and feel them faith muscles just bulging up, bulging out. Your clothes about to rip open because you're turning into the Hulk of faith. We become super Christians instantly. But you know something? I have read the whole Bible through a number of times, and I have not found a single story in the Bible where it happened that way. There is always a price to pay if we want to increase our faith. And part of that price is being willing to learn just how big of a God we serve. You see, the bigger the God we serve, the greater the possibilities become for our lives. If you serve a great God, you got the potential of becoming a great saint. If you serve a very little God, chances are you're going to be a very little saint. Now, it's interesting how God chooses and uses people for his own purposes. God has his eyes on us long before we even recognize he's looking at us. Now, when Pastor Kelly first came to this church, her sole intent was to march down the aisle at her sister's wedding and then go on and be about the business of her life. Glenville was simply to be a stopping point in both of their lives for a wedding, a footnote in their lives. Yet today, Kelly and her twin sister Casey is one of our most dedicated elders, and Kelly is our associate pastor, both of them with husbands and kids involved in the life and ministries of this church, probably a little bit more than they wanted to. Now, when they came walking down the aisle, Pastor Kelly was thinking of herself probably as the maid of honor. But God was standing up here saying, here comes a mighty warrior of God reporting for duty. If he had told her that, she would have died there on the spot, so he kept it hidden. Now, the amazing thing about God is that God can change the course of your life on any given day. And you may not have a clue about what the Lord is about to be up to. The bigger the God, the greater the change. Now, there was a young woman in the Bible that was not well known at all. There's nothing in the Bible about how beautiful she was or how she could sing. No one ever really took much note of her. She was from a very small, insignificant town. She's a teenager. She's a virgin. She's looking forward to her upcoming wedding plans, and she hopes that everything is going to go perfect for her wedding, just like she wants it to be. She sees herself as just another one of many small town girls hoping for an ordinary life with an ordinary family in a little ordinary town called Nazareth. And this young girl, whose name is Mary, is one day alone by herself. And that's when God decided to come calling. And God speaks to the angel Gabriel to go to Mary with the message. The angel Gabriel arrives and he says, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And the scriptures tell us that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. Now, I want us to notice that it is not the appearance of the angel that frightened her, but the words that the angel used. Mary probably thought the angel had the wrong person, because he said, "Hello, you who are highly favored." Highly favored by whom, she must have thought. Most people don't even know my name. I haven't done anything to get God's attention. I'm not living that holy that God would be with me like that. I want you to know that you as a child of God are highly favored by the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you are highly favored. God knows your name. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. And God has a plan for your life. And it's all right to be a little scared when God comes knocking and calling on you. God is a big God, and God can handle whatever nervousness we might have. Now, having God's favor upon your life is what's going to allow you to get through some very difficult circumstances. Mary may have also been frightened by the words the angel used because she knew the presence of God in a person's life meant the equipping of the person for a task. When we ask the Lord to increase our faith, we are saying, "Lord, I'm willing to submit to doing what you want me to do because you are going to be with me." So never forget the size of the God who is with you, and that's going to help to increase your faith. Now, sometimes we plan to go in a direction and hope that God will tag along and bless us. Have any of you done that before? You already made up your mind what you're going to do, and you just, "And God bless me as I go about and do it." We forget that God is the one who is in control. And when Pastor Kelly began recognizing that God's hand was on her life and she started to plan for her future, as a single mom, she wanted to look out for her and Whitney at the time. And she set up a meeting with me to discuss a legal matter about guardianship. She was telling me of her great plans, and she was going to go into the military and get a degree. I think it was in medicine. I listened to her plans, but she didn't like what I had to tell her from a legal perspective about her situation. And sometimes what we want and what God's plans are not the same thing. Any of you ever ran into that problem? That's where the challenges come into our walk. Mary is probably hoping the words of the angels are not going to alter her plans for a happy, normal wedding and a happy, normal family. This is amazing how God isn't all that impressed about what we plan to do. It says there in Luke, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.'" You know, when the angel finished speaking, Mary probably breathed a sigh of relief. "I knew he had the wrong person. There's no way he could have been talking about me because I am still a virgin." You know, sometimes when God puts the challenge before us, God wasn't talking to me after all. That was for somebody else. And we think we can go back to our plans because our former plans don't require as much faith as what this new thing is God might be calling us to do. When I told Pastor Kelly the bad news, I also offered her a challenge. I said, "Well, why don't you consider going to seminary and becoming a pastor?" Her first response was, "What? I could never do that. I can't do what you and Pastor Toby do." Her second response was, "I don't have the money to go to school. That's why I was thinking about going to the military." Her third response was, "Would they even take a single mom and her child at a seminary?" What she didn't know was that God's favor was on her in the same way God's favor was on Mary. God had a plan. Mary had a plan. Pastor Kelly had a plan. The temptation is always to look for ways out of God's plan in order to try to maintain our own. by coming up with reasons for why God's plan is not going to work. You ever try to explain to God that's not going to work, God, that there's no way that could happen? Mary told the angel Gabriel, you know, that's all nice and good, but it won't work. How can this be since I am a virgin? I have not had sex before. There is no way I could be pregnant. You know, I think sometimes that God takes delight in showing how the impossible can become possible when he ordains something to happen. What is it that you'd really like to do, but you think it cannot happen? Realize if you really think that, it may be because you're thinking your God is too small. You can only increase your faith after you have increased the size of your God. So the angel tells her there in Luke, the angel answers, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Now Mary is at this point where she has a choice to make. Will she risk God's plan for her life, or will she cling to the plans for the life she wants to live? And once the angel mentions, you got an aunt by the name of Elizabeth, she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt he's talking to her. What is she going to do? Every saint faces this choice in life. We can choose the path in which we will just live life as it comes, or we can rise up and choose the path of God that is always unpredictable. Mary decided to take the uncertain path of God's will by saying, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Little did she know how much her life was going to be altered. At some point, Pastor Kelly believed that even though she did not know what would happen, she packed up her bags and her little Whitney, her seminary partner, and they went to Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. She too had her life altered in a very unique way. Money did not always fall out of the sky each time there was a need, Pastor Kelly? Her car did not always run like it was supposed to do, breaking down on the highway. She didn't always get the grades she thought that she was going to deserve. Matter of fact, she was having a particular hard time with a particular Hebrew professor. And it just so happened that one day she said, Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby. And he said, you know Rick and Toby? She says, yeah, they're my pastors at the home church. This guy was the guy that I worked with back at seminary. So we were very good friends with her Hebrew professor. And all of a sudden, she became a darling of the class. Again, God's favor upon her. Now, when we were with him in seminary, we thought he was a nut. We didn't know God was working things out to make it easy for you. Part of increasing her faith and discovering God was far bigger than she thought was part of what God's plan was. Now, that the person who didn't have enough money to go to seminary her first year, her last year she had to turn down scholarship aid because she had too much in scholarship. You see, you do not know what God will do until you say yes to God's plan for your life. Christ died for you because he knows you were worth dying for. Let him live in your life so that you can reach your potential. God's plan requires an increase of faith because things do not turn out in the exact manner we hope they will. Now, with God doing all that he did to get Pastor Kelly through seminary and out of seminary, she didn't think that 6 years later she would still be working part-time at the church, making about the same amount of money she was before she went to seminary. It's like, okay, God, where is the miracle in all of this? Her vision as an associate pastor has not yet reached its fulfillment here at Glenville. There have been great moments. There have been a lot of hard work. She is waiting along with the rest of us for God to bless us and explode us as a church so that she can join the ranks of her colleagues with a full-time salary for full-time work. Amen. Now, you may be looking at where she is now, but Pastor Kelly, you're not where God is going to place you. And when he does, you are really going to do some shouting at that moment. Like Pastor Kelly, Mary got more than she bargained for in saying yes to the will of God. God's favor on Mary's life was a tremendous challenge. Her fiancé, first of all, didn't believe the story of her becoming pregnant by the Holy Spirit. He could have insisted on her being stoned for marital unfaithfulness, but instead he decided to just divorce her quietly. Do you think that made her shout hallelujah? This didn't coincide at all with the plans she had made. When they did get back together after an angel spoke to him, that was by no means an easy reunion. Do you think it took an increase in faith on her part to take back the man that had called her a liar, a cheater, an adulterer, and crazy at best? Then toward the end of her pregnancy, she had to travel by donkey a very long way to pay their taxes and be counted in the census, but she also had to do it in order to fulfill the prophecy of where Jesus was born. That journey over hills and mountains was not a very pregnant one, I mean a very pleasant one, when you are pregnant up and down on a donkey. How many of y'all think y'all would enjoy riding a donkey from here to Akron over hills and all 9 months pregnant? Not something you look forward to. And then to get to the city of Bethlehem only to discover every inn and hotel is full and booked up couldn't have been much of an encouragement. And then she has to give birth to Jesus in a barn where they kept cattle and sheep. Jesus spends his first night in a box that the animals would eat their food out of. We talk about this manger like it was something great. All it was you poured food in, and that's where the animals ate out. There were no halo lights around them in that stinking barn, as we see in the pictures where even the cows and everything else just cooperate. Probably wasn't like that at all. We don't even know how many other people may have been sleeping in that barn because there was no room anywhere else. Now, do you think Mary had this in mind when God said, "You who are highly favored by the Lord"? I don't think so. Well, things did begin to finally settle down, and they began making a home for themselves in Bethlehem. Something good did happen. Some wise men from the east came to see the toddler Jesus. He's not a baby anymore. They come to see the toddler Jesus, and the good news is they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all of which are worth a lot of money. Finally, it looks as though God is really with her and life will be normal. These gifts from the wise men was like money in the bank. How many of y'all would have liked to have seen them at your doorstep? Yes. But then that plan was very quickly shaken when Herod decided to come look for the baby Jesus to kill him. And an angel appears to Joseph and says, "Y'all better run for your life, run to Egypt, stay in Africa until we tell you to come back out of there." This was another dangerous journey, especially if the people knew that somebody had visited you with some gold, frankincense, and myrrh, then a nice thing to take away from you on the way of that trip. I want us to realize that not every challenge in our lives is an attack from the devil. Sometimes the hard things we are going through come from our obedience to God. Mary received God's favor, but that did not mean that her life just became a complete blessing of wealth, comfort, and social standing. God's favor is oftentimes going to involve some adversity. Sometimes God's favor will increase the challenges you face in your life. But you have to keep in mind what the end product is going to be. Mary didn't know what was about to be born inside of her. We don't know what it is God wants to give birth out of us. God's favor requires obedience on our part. Can we be bold enough to say as Mary did, "I am your servant. Whatever your plan is for my life, you have my permission to make it so." I want you to know that this is really a prayer for God to increase our faith when we say things like this. More than anything else, Mary needed God's peace in the midst of all of this, because she couldn't control everything that was happening. At times it seems like everything was falling apart for her, and at times it may seem like everything is falling apart for us. That's when we need God's inner peace, so that we can remember what the Apostle Paul said when he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can face whatever life throws my way through Christ who gives me strength. I want us to realize that nobody else can give this strength to us. Our circumstances can't. Our natural abilities can't. This is between you and God in receiving his peace. Now this morning, if you don't know Jesus, I think Jesus' word for you is this. I'm a big God. I'm bigger than your problems. I'm bigger than your failures. I'm bigger than your regrets, many though they may be. Bigger than your sin, bigger than your guilt. I know all about it. And if you will let me, if you will try me, I'll come into your life and show you just how big I can be. I will be your forgiver. I will be your strength. I will be your friend. Why? Because Jesus and Jesus alone makes the big God life possible. Because it's on the cross that we see just how big God is. God who is bigger than our sin, bigger than our guilt and our regret. A God who is so big that he came up out of a tomb to show us that he is even bigger than death himself. And if he's bigger than death, then that means he's bigger than disease, he's bigger than illness, he's bigger than whatever it is we might have facing us. And even for those of us who know God, that doesn't stop hard times from coming. God will say to us, I know all about the issues and the enemies in your life. I know about your worries. I know about your kids. I know what you've lost. I know about the divorce. I know about the crumbling marriage. I know about the affair. I know about the abortion. I know about the job failure. God is saying, I know, I know, I know, I know. I know where you're stagnant. I know where your dreams have died. I know where you've decided to just give up. God wants us all to know he has better dreams for our lives. And if we ask him every day, God can be bigger and bigger in his presence in our lives so that we can have our faith increase. And God's message to us as a church is that I have seen your desire to make me bigger in your willingness to win others to Christ. I heard your prayer. Let me have my way in and through you. Next Sunday is our 500th for Christmas. I'll ask the Lord to increase your faith by saying, Lord, what is it you would have me to do to make a difference in the life of someone else? Increase my faith. Because if we're not praying for God to increase our faith, it means we've just sort of given up and decided to stay right where we are. But there's no staying in the same place spiritually. We're either moving forward or backing up. Which one do you want to do? We have an insert in our bulletin in which, again, we're making one more pledge. Here is what I am going to do in order for us to make a difference next Sunday. It'll be great to know, no matter how many God sends our way, we work together to make it happen because we believe in a big God. Amen. Let us pray.